lesson is on page 198 of your hymnal. It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. Even though I, too, have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in Thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. If you looked at the sign this morning, and you looked at the bulletin, and you thought, wow, he didn't get out there and change the sign. I figured I proved I could actually do it last week, and I could stay on topic this week, because are you imitating Christ? What Paul says is, he's imitating Christ. He's pressing on to the goal of being like Christ. Now, when Paul, remember, he's writing this church to the church in Philippi, and this is a letter that he's written in love and adoration to these people that have supported him at different times in his missionary life. He's been to see him at least three times through the book of Acts. He has a relationship with them, and it is a very good one. But they're dealing with struggles. Because in the early church, some people felt that you needed to be a good Jew, all the dietary restrictions, including circumcision, as well as looking at the faith that Christ had given us. They wanted to follow the letter of the law as well as following the intent of the law. Paul and Peter both have come out and said that we're following the teaching, we're following the intent of the law, and those dietary restrictions are no longer the ones that are imposed on us. It's not what goes in the mouth that makes you foul and unclean, it's what comes out of the mouth. It was also this trait of circumcision, and this is the trait that Paul is addressing just immediately prior to this, is circumcision in the flesh. And Jesus has said it's not circumcision of the flesh that counts, but it's circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. We need to have our hard hearts shaved open. We need to have that humanness that hardens our hearts, that allow us to see incredible cruelties imposed on other people and not feel bad about it. We look the other way. We should have compassion. So Paul is addressing this struggle that they're having. And he's saying, well, look, you know what? It's almost as if in those first four verses that he's saying, you know what? Let's just lay our pedigrees out. Let's compare our pedigrees. Who's more believable? What's more important? He says, if anybody has any reason to feel confident in the flesh, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Paul's saying, well, look at what I've done. First, look at who I am. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm circumcised. I'm a member of the people of Israel. I'm a Hebrews Hebrew. I was born of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, no less. And as to the law, well, in that ancient world, everyone knew that the Jew, the Pharisee, was one who scrupulously followed every letter of the law. So he's saying, as to the law, I'm a Pharisee. And as to zeal, I mean, no one could be more zealous than Paul was in his persecution of the church. As to righteousness under the law, because he's done everything that the law, the letter of the law required, he says, blameless. Wow, puff your chest up, stick your head up there, boy. Look at me. There's no one out there who can count more things important than me, because I got them all. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss, as nothing. None of those matter in the kingdom of heaven. The fact that I was born of a Hebrew, what is that? The fact that I was circumcised in the flesh, what does that mean? It means my parents were obedient to the letter of the law. And as to being a Pharisee, great, you followed all the intent of the law, but how about those widows and orphans? Did you help them when you should have? Was your heart hardened because you were following some dietary restriction that you refused to help someone? Were you not the Good Samaritan because you didn't want to become defiled and couldn't serve? So you passed on the other side. Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. A Pharisee would have walked by because of the letter of the law. He didn't want to be defiled. Paul's saying, all of this is nothing. It's trash. Goodness gracious. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value. Why does he compare everything else as nothing? Because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I suffered the loss of all things and regard them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. I throw all of those things away because if I put those up, I can't have Christ. If I have them as my lords and my rulers, if I have them as my sovereigns, if it's a better place, if it's more money in the bank account, if it's a better looking girl, if it's a faster car, if it's a bigger boat, if all of those things are the things that I hold dear and true, then there's no room for Christ. Because if you love Christ, all of those other things are meaningless. All of those other things count as nothing. What did Christ give up? Everything, even his life. And it's this miracle of grace, it's this means of grace that we get to participate in this communion. You and I together, we kneel at this rail, we stand before this cross, and you know what? There's not one of us that's better. And there's not one of us that's worse. Did you guys hear that? There's not one of you that's better. Nor is there any that is worse. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. His body given. His blood shed. For whom? For me? Oh, hallelujah. For you. For all of us together. So that greater is he that is in me than that which is in the world. When we, through the miracle of faith, receive communion, the bread, the body, the wine, the blood, this is the body of Christ given for our salvation. And it's not that he's already attained it, but he's striving forward to it. This, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ made me his own. I'm pressing on towards being like Christ. Why? Because he made me his own. Who made me his own? Christ Jesus did. Who did the action? Who was the actor who did it? Christ Jesus. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do. If nothing else today, you walk away with, look at this. It's verse 13. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. What's your goal? Imitating Christ, yes. Pressing on towards the goal, yes. Being like Christ. Why? Because Christ is in me. Christ made me his own. Christ made you, Sierra. Christ made you, Cindy. At your baptism. Boy, and he doesn't mess up. He does good work. Ask Sue. She's been around for 90 years. And he's still working on her. He's not done. He's not done. We're moving on. We're moving on. We all have goals. We all have goals. We never stop striving. And we count things as rubbish. We stand on the glory of God. We stand on the glory of Christ. We stand on and kneel at the rail and receive his body given, his blood shed. For we press on, as Paul, we press on to the glory of God. Amen. Shalom.